Well, Mama told me.
You're listening to Daily Controversy. On the line, we got Scott Chambers, and we have David Fanning from LPL Financial, who just called in. And David, I want to get your take on this article I was sent you from the Daily Wire. It talks a little bit about Bidenomics as President Biden touts his economic record. Looking at his record, though, I mean, the fact that things got really, really bad the first year and a half, and now they're slightly less bad, it doesn't tend to instill a lot of confidence. Like, if inflation's at 5% now, but it was at, 10% when he started, I guess that is moving in the right direction, but it was at 2% before he took office. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you have to laugh, if not cry, at the same time. I mean, if you just take their numbers and take the most conservative number, I mean, we're double the inflation we were prior to Biden. So if we're supposed to double our inflation and feel better about it, paying more money to get our gas, paying more money to get, our groceries, I mean, it's ridiculous. And even speaking of gas, I mean, we're up 50%. I mean, we went all the way up to, close to $5 a gallon. Now we're back down to $3. So we're up 50% where we were before Biden went in. Does that make everybody feel good? I don't feel good about it at all, and I'm sure everybody else doesn't either.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, but you'd think they wouldn't tout. That's the thing. Like, Biden, if he wanted to have a strategy, he could do what he did in 2020. He could just stay in a basement and tell people I'm not Trump and just not run on anything. And, maybe that would work for him. Maybe it wouldn't. But he doesn't. It's just like you've got all these scandals with the cocaine and the nudity at the White House and the economy. And it just seems like they're trying to get the word Bidenomics. It's like a new thing. Isn't Bidenomics just basically Keynesian philosophy, right? Just spend a bunch of money you don't have, flood the economy with it, and don't worry about debt, and maybe that'll give that almost is like giving people a short burst of energy, but then it doesn't work long term. Like, this isn't a long term way to grow the economy, is it?
Oh, not at all. And I think the thing about it is the propaganda. I think most people caught on to it now. So I think most people realize that these guys are blowing smoke for the most part. And as a result, we're a little more careful about what they say. So when they say the infrastructure bill, that usually means the opposite. If they say Inflation Reduction Act, that usually means the opposite. It's just it's a sad state of affairs. And, they talk about debt, got to do something about the debt ceiling, and then all of a sudden they turn around and, give all this money to Ukraine like they've given $800 million. I wonder where they got that, And that's our money, by the way.
Yeah, it seems like they just kind of do what they want. And on the Ukraine stuff, they could just tell us. If they just said something like, hey, we're trying to, destroy Russia's military because they are, historical adversary. We don't really care that much about Ukraine. But it just seems like they try to make Zelensky this Winston Churchill figure. And I've noticed is that they don't have elections in Ukraine anymore. They canceled that. They got rid of opposition. They got rid of free speech. They locked up religious leaders. And yet all you're hearing from the White House is that, Zelensky's he's our guy. I'm like, well, maybe he's slightly better than Putin because Putin's terrible. But I don't get why they have the framing is what bothers me. Like, the American people need to realize, like, Ukraine is not believe. They don't believe in the same things we do. They don't believe in free speech and religious liberty. And, I get different countries have different views and it's the way it is. But it just seems like there's not really an exit ramp. I mean, you do financial advising. How do you help plan for all these uncertainties, whether it's the war, the inflation? I mean, do you have to be more strategic in what you're deciding to invest in?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you have to take things as they are. I mean, when I first started, just the normal asset allocation, buy and hold, and just keep going like that. But you have to have more flexibility. Of course, it always varies depending on the client and how many years I have versus short years or whatever. So everybody's individual and different. But yeah, you have to stay on top of things all the time. It's not like it used to be where you could kind of pretty much spread everybody and everything and just kind of let it go. And you've got to really strategically think things through and be real careful, especially. One thing I let people know is, NASDAQ, I remember when I first came on board in 1999, man, you could buy about anything, it would go up. And then come March of 2000, NASDAQ went from 5,100 and 2002, it finally bottomed out, dropped over 70%. And it took about 2015 before it finally came back to its 5,100 spot. So, I mean, you're looking at 15 years before you get back to where you were. People got to understand and realize we got kind of events in the world that can really, hurt the economy and it can hurt the stock market and what have you. Of course, there's the other side of it too, where things can get better as well. But you got to look at both ends and you got to see what everybody's circumstances are.
Yeah, I think that's important. I know that Scott Chambers on. Now, what he does is he just buys a bunch of gold bars and he keeps it in his house. I don't know if that's the right way to invest. I mean, Scott, what are your thoughts on that?
I was doing the gold bars for a while, but and now I've moved on to timeshares because I feel
oh,
like that's a much better investment these days.
That's a great one. I'm sure David thinks that's a good one right there.
Of course. I do have a serious question, though. You know, we were talking about all the money that's going to Ukraine, and we were talking about the economy. You know, the media keeps painting the picture that the economy is doing so well. But it seems like no matter which administration is in charge, every time we hear about an infrastructure bill, no bridges are getting built. And that's our money that we're basically giving to Washington. Do you see with your clients, do they ever get fed up with the fact that the current administration isn't owning up to the fact that the economy isn't as hot as the media claims it is? And how do you talk to them about overcoming that?
Well, it's pretty scary for all of us. I mean, the bottom line is that everybody knows things aren't right. Everything's in a shakeup. You got the banks that are shook up, you know. There's just so many question marks now. So Biden did not clear things up. He actually muddied things up to where people now are more scared than ever, in my experience, and more cautious than ever, and not sure exactly what to do. That's the reason why, you know, experience with a financial advisor makes a big difference because, you know, I've been through almost 25 years of this. And so, you know, I work to try to handle both ends of the spectrum, you know. And the thing is that most people are very, very scared right now and very, very cautious. And so you have to really be doing some study and research and stay aware, you know.
So what if I'm just an average Joe? I work a 9-to-5 job Monday through Friday. I've got a wife and two kids and, you know, make less than $100,000 a year. Is a financial advisor, can they still help me or do I have to be a multimillionaire?
Well, one thing Chris knows, and I'm not sure if we mentioned this last time, Chris, but I'm actually Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro. And
nice.
Basically once you are debt free except for your house and, then what you do is you begin to invest. And so, you know, there's some advisors out there that say, hey, man, if you don't have $100,000, you can't do business with me. I've never been that way. I'm always the kind of guy, I want to help anybody I can possibly help. You got $50 a month, let's do that. Just whatever. But let's put a plan together. Let's get your goals set out there. And then let's start whatever you can handle, whatever you can afford. Let's look at that and begin to get started. So it don't matter, you know, if you're $100,000 or if you're, you know, man, you know, anybody can invest and anybody can get a good plan together.
And the best way to become a millionaire is to start investing, right? I mean, is to save money and put that money back once you have your debts paid down. And I think a lot of people tend to forget that. Oh, I've got to have tons of money to invest. And that's simply just not true.
Exactly. It's all about habit, you know, because we all form bad habits. But guess what? If you form the good habits, then over time that comes to really help you a lot. And that's what most people don't see. They're just here for the here and now. And you have to plan ahead, especially when it comes to trying to, you know, get out of this situation where, you know, most people are stuck, you know, and I hate to say it, but the system is somewhat set up to where we are stuck. We're always in debt and all that. It's one of the reasons why Randy's such a good guy, because he gets us out of debt and then he gets somebody like me to come in and try to help you to begin to build your wealth. And you know, most people don't think that way. The average person doesn't. So you got to get people to get their mind straight and understand what the strategy is and then go forward from there.
Yeah, I think the problem is that a lot of people, and maybe this is also a moral problem, is that we have such short-term thinking in the United States. You know, like we used to think about in terms of legacy, like, you know, where am I going to be in 20, 30 years? What do I want my kids and grandkids to have? And now it seems like there's this push, and it's pushed by a lot of the, you know, top economists who I don't really always respect, but, you know, it just tells people to just think about the short term. I mean, I had a friend that invested a lot in this, you know, that Bitcoin kind of situation, the trade of digital currency, and then it turned out to be a fraud, and he lost about half of his savings, something like $20,000. And a really smart guy, really highly educated, but it was just, you know, I think when you see these flash in the pan situations, I think you just have to be cautious, because if you make money really, really quick in one thing and you see returns, that's great. But oftentimes, those are the same things that are going to tank, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's sometimes what we call play money. If you got the play money, then you take the greater risk. But when it comes to, you know, financially planning, when you're trying to plan for retirement, you're planning for your child's education, whatever, that takes discipline. And that's what you – and that, the good thing about having the financial advisors is basically we're your coach, you know. So we're coaching you, trying to keep you there. you know, I got clients that call me and say, hey, I'm thinking about buying a car. What do you think about that? You know, in other words, having somebody there that's a third party that can help you make good sound decisions so that you can stay on track, you know, to get where you want to be.
Yeah. So how do our audience learn more about what you do, David?
They can go to my website, fanningfinancial.net. Fanning is with an F, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, fanningfinancial.net. They can call me at 256-325-1207. Or by appointment, they can get with me at my office at 7600 Highway 72 West in Madison, Alabama.
And you'll take people that are just starting out or they've been doing it for a long time. Is there anybody that you particularly are looking for?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't have the corporate mentality, the corporate American mentality. I'm the kind of guy, I just love to help people, and that's the reason why, you know, I've blended well with the Ramsey program, because I want to help folks, and I want to get them where they want to be, and I want to try to encourage them not to make bad decisions, you know. And it's one of those things where, you know, most people kind of hope they had the uncle or the dad or granddad or whatever that really gives you the good wisdom and advice and what have you. There's just not a lot of folks out there that do that anymore, so it's really beneficial to try to get with somebody who has some wisdom and some experience.
Yeah, those that fail to plan usually plan to fail. I think that's the thing. So, yeah, so you guys go to LPL Financial. Dave's a really good guy. We'll continue to bring you back on. We have some interesting economic stuff. But anyway, let's go ahead and take a quick break. Thank you so much for calling in, David. We got one more segment today, and then we are going to be done with this show, and then we got the Affy Show. We'll be back in just a second. You're listening to Daily Controversy on the Line. We've got David Fanning from LPL Financial and Scott Chambers. And Scott, you had a question for David I thought was really interesting. What was that question?
Yeah, we saw yesterday that more Americans are working. The jobs market's looking pretty good right now, according to the latest numbers out, which created kind of a problem yesterday. I noticed that the Dow seemed to take a bit of a hit on fears that the Federal Reserve was going to leave interest rates high. What are your thoughts on that? How is having more jobs actually causing the Dow to tumble? Explain that in layman's terms for people.
They probably know some things we don't know.
Right, exactly.
I know they revised the employment down a little bit the last month before they put this out. But I know when you look at the June federal minutes, they were actually mentioning the possibility of a mild recession later this year because of tightening credit conditions. So, like I said, there must be something in the water. You know, they even talked about job growth maybe becoming more weak. So, just realize there's some questions there that are underlying. And I'm sure if you guys are like me, you got to be real careful with government statistics.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, they changed, that's for sure. I saw there was this really interesting graphic. It showed that in 2021, before Biden took office, you could get like a $750,000 30-year mortgage, pay 20% down, and you would be like, your payment would be $2,400 a month or something close to those numbers. And then now you can get you'd have to pay the exact same amount to get a $450,000 house, and that's on the fact that housing prices have gone way up. So if you bought a house during the Trump administration, you're doing great. The value of your house went way up, and you're living life. But if you're a new home buyer right now, it's a tough market, isn't it?
It is, and I'm glad you brought that up, because going back to buy economics, however you want to word it, the bottom line is when inflation went up, that knocked a ton. I'm talking about thousands and thousands of people out of even being able to buy a house. And so we had a lot of people lined up during the Trump administration who were ready to either build or buy, who had not been able to do so before. And now when inflation hits, okay, I'm out now. I can't do it anymore. So, to get back to how well Biden's done, I think, the people that are listening right now, they know. They don't have to have anybody to talk about what the economics are doing. They know just feeling it at the gas pump or at the grocery store, and especially trying to buy a house. It's just way out of line now.
Do you think we're going to have is it likely we're going to have a recession in the next, 6 months to a year? They keep predicting it, and it seems like we're keep skating by, and we haven't had – it's just like I feel like we're holding on by a thread. But the way
how do we keep holding on? That's the question.
Yeah, how much longer is this going to last? I mean, I know you can't know for sure, but what are your thoughts?
Now, obviously, we can't make projections, but if you look back last year, we had two quarters in a row where what they call the GDP, which is how you measure the economy through the government, where it was negative two quarters in a row, which is recession. Okay. Then all of a sudden we come out, but we've been weak the whole time. And then all of a sudden they're saying, hey, there's a possibility we might go back in. Now, if as many years as I've had this thing, usually when we have a recession, it's when it's about over. They finally say, oh, by the way, we've been in recession for the last 8 months or, 12 months or whatever. So they're telling us now we're not in recession, but it may be, down the road. They might say, oh, by the way, we've been in recession for about 12 months, 18 months, whatever. And again, I think we go back to the normal consumer and they realize, hey, there's a lot of things contracted in my life, but a lot of things have receded in my life. So yeah, I'm having a recession for sure. Now everybody else, I don't know about economics, but I do it myself, that I'm definitely contracting. I have to spend, I can't spend as much as I want to, and I can't get as much as I want to anymore.
Well, same. I tried to order a cheeseburger from my neighborhood diner and realized it was $12.99 for a burger. I'm like, okay, I'm in a recession now. This is crazy.
Yeah.
But, and I think the average people know that when they, on prices like cheeseburgers. I mean, I know that's very simple economics, but that's how you can tell. Now, I know in 2008 we had the financial crisis, and that was completely different. But do you see the Bidenomics possibly driving us to a point of 2008, or do you think we'll ever see that again?
There's a lot of factors that are similar, and I can tell you, again, now I wasn't in the 70s, no doubt, as an advisor, but in the 70s, if you remember, we had the sticky inflation that stayed on for many, many years, and we finally got rid of it, and that was over 40 years ago. Now we're going through the same thing again, and the trouble is, we get to 2000, and we had the dot-com burst, and then we get to 2008, and if you remember what they said in 2008, they said, hey, we did have a few banks here, and we had AIG having trouble and all, but we got this thing under control, and then all of a sudden, it just all blows up. But they said, that everything was fine, and then all of a sudden it blows up. So, again, no projections or anything like that. But, could it go better? Yes. Could it go worse? Right now, again, going back to the Fed minutes, they seem to think it could go worse, just based on their consensus.
And, well, I am going to start hoarding gold bars in my house then.
There you go. All right. We're about out of time here. David, can you give that number one more time before we head out?
Yeah. My number is 256-325-1207, and my website is fanningfinancial.net.
All right. Well, thank you so much, David. And that about wraps up the show for us today. I'm going to be covering for Yaffe for the next hour. We're going to have Dale on. Dale will be very interesting to talk to. There's a lot of breaking news I definitely wanted to go over with him. So,
the one and only Dale?
Well, you can stay on if you want, man. It's all up to you.
We'll see. Maybe. It's possible.
All right. Well, I'll be here in 5 minutes. I'll tell you that. So I'm going to be here. Dale will be here. If Scott wants to come hang out, he can too. We'll be back in just a second.